Please rise as you are able so we can together lift our hearts to God in worship. Praise the Lord, all of you who worship the Holy One.
Children of Jacob, come glorify God.
Children of Israel, stand in awe of the Lord of hosts. All who hunger, come eat your fill at the Lord's table. All who seek the Lord, let us sing praises and worship the God of glory.
Join me in singing hymn number 440.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin to God and to one another. O God, sometimes the journey is just too much. We can't go on, and we complain that we are all alone. It feels as if nobody cares, not even you. Our strength is gone, and we are ready to give up. In those times when we are consumed with self-pity and convinced there is no hope, send your Spirit in our hearts to remind us of our sustaining grace. Strengthen us at your table and by the daily claiming of our baptism so that we may go confidently on our journeys, carrying out the mission you have given us. Through Christ the Lord. Amen. Paul tells us, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God, who loves us and gives himself for us. Hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. With this assurance ringing in our ears, our hearts filled with God's peace, let us share this peace with a wave or a nod to all we see. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also
with you.
As it was in the
Please be seated. Let us pray. Bearer of all truth, hear our prayer. Open our ears that we may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on our ears, everything false will disappear. Silently now we wait for thee. Ready, our God, thy will to see. Open our ears. Illumine us, Spirit divine. Amen. Our reading today from the letters is Galatians 3, verses 23 through 29, found on page 188 in the Pew Bibles. Here, Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
Thank you. Well done, Rochelle. Thank you. I was really excited to hear some of those words. I don't always hear the words out back, but the words trust in the Lord always came up, didn't it? And we're talking about that a little bit today. Trust, having faith, right? So the story I'm about to read has to do with trust and faith. It's from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, and I'm going to begin on verse 1. Went to the wrong page here for some reason. There it is. Elijah has been a good prophet for God. He's called out the Baal worshipers. He's fought the good fight, but he's done some things that now he's scared. Doesn't know quite what to do. His faith is faltering. Listen to this story as I read it from the Common English Bible version to you. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had killed all Baal's prophets with the sword. Jezebel sent a message to Elijah with this message: "May the gods do whatever they want to me if by this time tomorrow I haven't made your life like the life of the one of them." Elijah was terrified. He got up and ran for his life. He arrived at Beersheba in Judah and left his assistant there. He himself went farther on into the desert, a day's journey. He finally sat down under a solitary broom brush. He longed for his own death. "It's more than enough, Lord. Take my life because I'm no better than my ancestors." He lay down and slept under the solitary broom brush. Then suddenly a messenger tapped him and said to him, "Get up, eat something." Elijah opened his eyes and saw flatbread baked on glowing coals and a jar of water right by his head. He ate and drank and then went back to sleep. The Lord's messenger returned a second time and tapped him. "Get up," the messenger said. "Eat something because you have a difficult road ahead of you." Elijah got up, ate and drank, and went refreshed by that food for 40 days and nights until he arrived at Horeb, God's mountain. There he went into a cave and spent the night. The Lord's word came to him and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I've been very passionate for the Lord God of heavenly forces because the Israelites have abandoned your covenant. They have torn down your altars and they have murdered your prophets with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they want to take my life too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand at the mountain before the Lord. The Lord is passing by." A very strong wind tore through the mountain and broke apart the stones before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound. Thin. Quiet. The sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his coat. He went out and stood at the cave's entrance. A voice came to him and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very passionate for the Lord God of heavenly forces because the Israelites have abandoned your covenant. They have torn down your altars and they have murdered your prophets with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they want to take my life also." The Lord said to him, "Go back through the desert to Damascus and anoint Hazael as king of Aram." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Whew. Good story. And I got to tell you, this sermon I'm about to share with you is not what I intended to preach earlier in the week. You see, as usual on Mondays, I met up with several other pastors, Presbyterians from Zanesville and Cambridge, to argue scripture and discuss sermon ideas together. We call it text study. I was planning to preach the Galatians passage that Frank just read. It's a little bit dry. Talking about the law is usually dry. But I wanted to offer you insights on the difference between law and the vitality of faith when it comes to receiving God's grace. Back in Paul's day, there was this big old argument over whether or not Gentiles could be welcomed as followers of Christ. Some of the Jews argued that since Gentiles didn't follow their law, they could not follow Christ. Imagine that, will you? Church folk demanding that others follow their way of doing things or not be allowed to be part of the church. You know, it wasn't that long ago the only people who could receive communion at a Presbyterian table had to be a member of that congregation. They had to be Presbyterians. Or they could be examined by the elders to make sure that their beliefs measured up. But Paul thought that Gentiles should not have to follow Judaic law to follow Jesus. And since he'd been trained in the art of rabbinic teaching, Paul followed a logical sequence in his argument that those who read his letter would understand and accept. And here's what he argued. Father Abraham lived well before Moses, 400 plus years. And Moses was the one who brought the law to the people. Abraham was from Ur, a land in Mesopotamia, right? Yet God chose to bless him because he had shown great faith in God by packing up his life and moving from Ur to Canaan as God requested. In addition, God blessed all of Abraham's offsprings and their children, all their children down through the generations. Now remember, God gave Moses the law 400 plus years later, and only after the children failed to trust God's goodness. They broke the covenant. Much, much later, God came to earth in human form as Jesus. And Jesus consistently expressed his faith in God's goodness right up to the moment of his crucifixion. Throughout our scripture, we see how God blesses those who keep their faith and trust in God. So Paul's point was that anyone who has faith in Jesus should be welcomed to the fold. That's simple. Well, the long version of that sermon began disappearing after Monday afternoon's study. One of my colleagues felt called to preach on this 1 Kings passage, and we read the passage aloud to one another, as we usually do. And that's when I was struck by verses 11 through 13. Remember, Elijah had run to the cave in fear of his life. He'd abandoned his prophetic call, and he wanted to die. And instead, we hear how God sent angels to prepare him for more work. And we hear how he was visited by great winds and an earthquake and fire before God would speak and show himself to Elijah in the sheer silence. Those verses spoke to me when the storms blew through here in the wee hours of Tuesday morning. Quite a show of power, wasn't it? Something you would expect God to be in. And yet, God visited Elijah in the midst of sheer silence. Well, my power went out. And there was sheer silence. Like Elijah, people can feel very alone at times like that. But Scripture is clear. God is with us in the silence. Well, later that day, storm stories began circulating. Turns out a good number of us were hit pretty hard. Among others, Larry and Becky Welch's house was severely impacted. A giant, seemingly healthy maple tree blew over on top of the roof of their house. It took their little shed down entirely. It crushed the motor and all that was inside. And their recently refreshed deck was damaged too. But the worst was inside. That tree broke through the roof over the family room. Rain poured in, soaking all of their furniture and the brand new carpeting. Yeah. It was quite a sight. And yes, of course, the power went out. So there they were in total darkness and sheer, deafening silence. Okay, God, are you here? Are you here in this disaster? In this silence? What do folks do about such things at 4:30 in the morning? Break down in tears? Faint? Scream in frustration? That experience must have been numbing. Can you imagine how it might have felt like the silence was some kind of cotton batting that blocked every sight and sound and smell out? Totally cutting you off? Now, the Welches are pretty ordinary folks. And I'm not holding them up as saints. But with their permission, I am sharing their story to help us understand how God blesses faith, like Abraham's and Elijah's, rather than mandating works in exchange for God's love. So Becky prayed for help, and I suspect Larry did too. He wasn't around for that part of our conversation, but I know he also called the insurance company immediately. Then, after the rain had subsided, both of them began to survey the damage with a tiny little flashlight. Photos are horrible. Later, while Becky was talking to a neighbor, a truck drove up the street, and it stopped, and it was the construction crew who was scheduled to work on a doorway for that particular neighbor. But instead of getting the work done and sending Becky on her way, the neighbor asked the crew to take a look at the Welch's house to see what could be done to help them. Pretty nice neighbor, right? Well, the crew later did take a look, a long look. And then he turned to the Welches and he said, "You have a terrible problem here, and I can't leave you in this mess." It wouldn't be right. Now, they'd been calling every contractor they could think of, and all were saying pretty much the same words. Because of all the damages from the last storms, and that it's summer, and they were already booked solid, taking on the Welch's project was not possible. So to hear this contractor, who had just happened by, say, "I can't leave you in this mess," was as amazing as when Elijah heard that voice in the sheer silence. Within hours, things began to fall in place for the Welches, and by late the next evening, everything, save the flooring, will be repaired. So by Friday, less than 2 full weeks. The new metal roof was on by Friday afternoon. I was there. The drywall was hung on Saturday. Now, they'll have to wait for new wood flooring to arrive in August, but there is subflooring so they can move around safely. While we visited, Becky and I agreed that the arrival of the crew at that moment was a God thing, a blessing. We both believe God was present in the storm and in the silence that followed. And then God acted to care for them through it all. God did not cause the disaster as punishment. The storm simply roared through at the right angle and toppled the tree. But God reached down to give strength to those two faithful people. Like Father Abraham and the rest of us, God had created them and loved them. And in return, Abraham, like the Welches, honored God by acting in faith when God asked him to do so. And it was through his faith, not his service, that God blessed him. Abraham held on to his faith even as he weathered the horrible storms of his life. He was even ready to give up his son when God asked. Of course, Abraham was not perfect. He did some less than faithful things too. He was human. Aren't we all? Elijah faced challenges too. He'd been God's voice to the Israelites and had spoken out against Baal's prophets. He'd killed them off in God's name and then had to run for his life from the notorious Queen Jezebel. He thought he was a goner. But God stepped in. God wasn't ready to welcome Elijah home just yet. There was more work for him to do. So God made sure the angels fed him and that he was rehydrated. And with his faith renewed and refreshed, God sent him back out into the desert to Damascus to anoint kings and prophets. Yeah, Damascus, where all the worst enemies of the Hebrew people lived. God asked a lot from Elijah, and yet, in faith, Elijah left that cave. He followed God's call to serve in faith. My friends, it's easy to fall into despair when terrible things happen to us. Rebuilding a home anytime is a huge job, but doing so when you're in your 60s? It's also easy to despair when we look around and see how God's church is diminishing. Feels like we're all alone to shoulder it back to what it used to be. Such overwhelming responsibility can cause us to feel as lonely as Elijah must have felt out there in the cave Remember, he says, I am alone left now, and now they want my life too. I mean, that is despair. Yet if we'd read a few more lines, we'd have heard God say this: I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal. Yeah. In the future, Elijah would have help on his mission. And just as God provided Elijah with help, God sent partners to assist Larry and Becky. We all know that things aren't quite what they were for us as people or this church even 8 years ago. And it's easy, very easy, to wonder, has God left us alone to die? Now, I don't know the exact answer to that question, but I wonder, could God be calling people to help us move through our faith journey? Could there be 7,000, so to speak, out there that God wants to connect us with? Might we still be able to reach out to others to bring about the kingdom of God? When disaster strikes, we can easily feel frustrated, exhausted, demoralized, scared to death. But God can work with those feelings. God can lead us to Sabbath, you know, still waters. God can provide for us green pastures. God can speak to us to restore our souls and renew our faith. But God always does so to send us back out into the world. And that brings us back to faith. Our plans may be forced to change throughout our life, but faith gives us hope for ourselves and for the future of this church. As Paul said, in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. As many of us as were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. And if we belong to Christ, then we are Abraham's offsprings, heirs according to the promise. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 345, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Let us remember the breadth and depth of our faith in God, Father, Son, and Spirit, saying, We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world, good, makes everyone image male and female of every race and people to live in one community. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. God raised Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to eternal. We trust in God and Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together, all believers, in this one body of Christ, the Church. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth. And come, Lord Jesus.
Let us pray. O great and gracious God of kings and prophets, children and people in need, on this most amazing summer day, we thank you that the dangerous heat and humidity have subsided for at least a while, and that you remind us of your joy in this creation with nests full of tiny chirps and with does who greet us here at your sanctuary. We praise you for giving us families with whom to share love and for the gifts of brothers and sisters, your children, with whom we worship this day. Today we remember that Jesus called you Abba, Father, and that you are the Father of us all. Yet we also remember that you created men and women to serve as your loving earthly parents for each of us. We thank you today, most especially, for the men we have called Father, who have stood with us in times of joy as well as in times of trouble, who have given to us from their hearts in small ways that are actually huge in the big picture of life. We are thankful for the lessons they taught us and the love they shared with us. And we thank you for the compassion of men who have stepped into our lives when we were in need, but our fathers were for some reason absent. Bless them all now and throughout their lives. We pray for your church the world over, especially for those who are gathered in your name at the 225th General Assembly in Louisville. Bless our brothers and sisters as they seek to find your way for this denomination. They grapple with many issues of concern for us. Give them wisdom. Let them hear your voice so that they might cause us all to step forward with boldness into the future you have planned for the church. We lift up to you especially your servants, Reverend Ruth Santana Grace and Reverend Siobhan Starling Lewis, who've been elected co-moderators of this assembly and for the next 2 years. May they thrive as ambassadors of hope who show energy, imagination, intelligence, and love throughout their service. We pray for the nations and people of the world. Grant the world's leaders wisdom and humility that, like good fathers and good shepherds, they may guide your flocks in ways of peace. We pray for the most vulnerable, for creatures threatened with extinction, for those of the human family who are poor, homeless, who are refugees, victims of political or domestic violence, those who are hungry, those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, for those who grieve the loss of a loved one, and for those we now name in the sheer silence of our hearts. All of this, and so much more, we pray in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us.
Join me in singing hymn number 276, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Lord loves us. We are God's creation. Our God has showered many blessings upon us. And in turn, we show our love, our faith in God through serving. God has served us, and now we in turn are serving God. Great is God's faithfulness to us. And in that faithfulness, that wondrousness, that hope, I invite you to go out and serve for God's love. Show the others that you meet God's love. For God loves you and will continue to bless you. And will bless them too through your love. But go knowing that you go not alone, never alone, but you go with the love of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the community that is the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen and amen.